there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Waleed and Theodore Shobot were on our program several weeks ago. They discussed radio host Glenn Beck and the admiration Mormons have for the Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam. It was new information to me. To be honest, as a host, I felt at times that the interview was jumping around from topic to topic, and I was having a difficult time connecting the dots that Waleed and Theodore were making about Glenn Beck. I thought it was a stretch to say that Glenn Beck had endorsed Chrislam, the merger of Christianity and Islam. In all fairness to Mr. Beck, I've heard him denounce Islamic terrorism, so I can't, in good faith, say that he has endorsed Chrislam. But as the interview with Waleed and Theodore progressed, and they pointed out the Mormon respect for Muhammad and Islam, I started to understand the dots that they were connecting. Now, I also want to say that I had no idea how many Mormons listen to True News every day, and I quickly discovered it after that interview. And although they didn't like the interview, I have to say this. The vast majority of the Mormons who wrote to me were very respectful in their disagreements, and I appreciate their good manners. And I hope we'll remain good friends after this program, too, because we're going to discuss Glenn Beck's bizarre Man in the Moon event held last weekend near Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, my issue with LDS is not the people in the movement. It is the false doctrines of the movement. As a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot endorse any doctrine that is not biblical according to Orthodox Christianity. I think Mormon followers are good, decent, law-abiding, family-oriented folks. What they've been taught about God and His Son Jesus Christ is simply not biblical. It's not true. And I would say to any Mormon follower listening to me right now who believes that he or she is a Christian that you should prove it by tossing the Book of Mormon in the trash can. That would be a good starting point in the process of embracing biblical Christianity. I know that sincere people in the LDS movement want us to accept Mormonism as a legitimate branch of Christianity. And my answer is never in a zillion years. I can be kind and friendly to Mormon people, but I can never accept Mormon doctrine as biblical. Again, I say, throw the Book of Mormon in the trash can. Why? Well, in his letter to the Galatian church, St. Paul wrote this admonition that remains true throughout the ages. He said, "I marvel that ye are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached and we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, what about Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Both were visited by spiritual entities that those men perceived to be angels. Joseph Smith was visited by an angel or a being claiming to be Moroni. And Muhammad was visited by a spiritual being claiming to be Gabriel. After the interview with Waleed and Theodore Shobat, I located the page on the official LDS website that discusses the Mormon respect for Muhammad and Islam. The article is titled A Latter-day Saint Perspective on Muhammad, and I encourage you to read it, especially the Mormons listening to me right now. Don't take my word on it. You read for yourself what the LDS movement officially says about the founder of Islam. Let me read a direct quote from the LDS website. We believe Muhammad encountered a divine messenger who informed him of this new calling as prophet. He received revelations of a new scripture that contains God's word to mankind, and he established a community of believers that developed into a major world religion. End of quote. Now, to all the wonderful people listening to me who belong to the LDS movement, please answer this question. If your religion teaches that Muhammad encountered a divine messenger, who sent the messenger? Did Yahweh, the one true God of Israel, send an angel to Muhammad? If the answer is no, the only other option is that it wasn't a divine messenger sent by the one true God. It was a demonic being sent by Lucifer to deceive the world. Perhaps it was Lucifer himself. The LDS website states that in the 1850s, Mormon elders George Smith and Parley Pratt of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, quote, delivered lengthy sermons demonstrating an accurate and balanced understanding of Islamic history and speaking highly of Muhammad's leadership. Elder Smith observed that Muhammad was descended from Abraham and was no doubt raised up by God on purpose. The article also states that Elder Smith, quote, went on to express his admiration of Muhammad's teachings, end of quote. Now, if the LDS movement believes that Muhammad received revelations of new scripture that contains God's words to mankind, do you believe the Quran is inspired by God? If you as a Mormon agree with your movement's teaching about Muhammad, you believe that Islam is a good religion, divinely imparted by Almighty God. I think Mormons should ask Christians living in Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Egypt, Somalia, Sudan, if Islam and Muhammad came from Yahweh, the God of Israel. I believe it was a demon that appeared to Muhammad, and I also believe it was a demon that appeared to Joseph Smith. Both men were deceived by lying spirits. I want to go back to St. Paul's warning to Christians to not believe any other gospel, even if it is delivered by a being claiming to be an angel. Muhammad conversed with a demon, as did Joseph Smith. Most likely it was the same demon. And so I say to the people listening to me who are affiliated with LDS, throw the Book of Mormon in the trash and ask the one true God to reveal the truth to you about his son, Jesus Christ. Now, radio host Glenn Beck has stated repeatedly on the air that he believes in the Book of Mormon. He recently said on his radio program, quote, I happen to believe in another book called the Book of Mormon, and in it, in the very end, is the story of the Americas, end of quote. Over the 4th of July weekend, Mr. Beck's entertainment company put on an elaborate but bizarre spectacle in Salt Lake City, which many consider to be the Mormon Mecca. It was billed as the Man in the Moon. Mr. Beck himself played the role of the Man in the Moon, who told the history of the world as seen from the moon watching the earth over the ages. The event dazzled the eyes of the adoring fans with high-definition video projections, live dancers, aerial performers, a massive robot, and pyrotechnics. The Salt Lake City Tribune reported, quote, Glenn Beck gazed upon humanity from some 238,857 miles away witnessed darkness and light, despair and hope, and concluded that the fate of mankind rests in its own hands. Mr. Beck's extravaganza, played to a sold-out audience of 18,000 fans, packed into the USANA Amphitheater. Now, tickets range from $35 lawn seats to the super-duper VIP tickets at $1,250 each. In addition to some politicians and blogger Michelle Malkin, several prominent Christian leaders shared the stage with Mr. Beck. Okay, so at this point, let's take a break. And when I return, Chris Steinle and Mr. Bill Keller will be here to share their views about the mixing of evangelical Christianity, Mormonism, and the libertarian political movement. You're listening to True News. I'm Rick Wiles.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is True News.
This is Max McLean. What is God's standard for greatness? Listen to the Bible from Matthew 18. The disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." From Matthew 18, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Well, you're listening to True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. Our topic today is the blurring of the lines between Orthodox Christianity and LDS Mormonism. In particular, we're going to be talking about Glenn Beck's recent, very bizarre program that he put on in Salt Lake City on the 4th of July weekend called the Man in the Moon event. Chris Steinle is here in the studio with me. Pastor Chris, welcome.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be here.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you here today. And Bill Keller is on the telephone. Bill is the founder of LivePrayer.com, a ministry devoted to providing 24/7 prayer for people around the world. The website is liveprayer.com. Bill, always good to have you on True News.
Always good to be with you, Rick. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Well, gentlemen, I don't want this interview to be a bash Glenn Beck segment or bash Mormon people segment. You know, Mr. Beck runs his entertainment business. It's his business. The way he runs it, that's his business. If 18,000 people want to pay him money to see his face superimposed inside a giant moon on the stage, well, that's free enterprise. My issue is the mixing of Mormon theology with Orthodox Christianity. So, you know, Bill, St. Paul warned Christians not to accept any other gospel, even if it is delivered by a spiritual being pretending to be an angel. And Mr. Beck,
yeah, Rick,
yes, sir.
You know, here's the problem. You know, Jesus said, "Don't worry about the one who can kill your body. Worry about the one who can kill your soul." And the danger of Glenn Beck is we now live in an age where the better percentage of twofold generations has never been to church. And, of course, Beck came on the scene basically promoting a conservative political ideology. That's how he got into the heads and lives of most people. But over the years, he's now kind of blended his political ideology in with his form of spiritual beliefs. And not only do the better percentage of twofold generations never been to church, but even those who are sitting in churches now, for the most part, in all honesty, are biblically illiterate. And it allows somebody like a Glenn Beck, like a Mitt Romney, to look into a camera and just bluntly lie that they're a Christian when Mormon doctrine is 100% inconsistent with biblical Christianity.
Bill, I think Glenn Beck is the first Mormon televangelist.
I agree. I agree, and he is, and before he used to try to kind of mask it, but now the blinders are off, the mask has been ripped off. Just look at where he held his great coming out party, Men in the Moon, this past weekend in the home of Mormonism, Salt Lake City, and so it's definitely, he is comfortable now pushing this lie that he's a Christian while being a Mormon, understanding that most people just don't theologically understand. When Glenn Beck talks about God, he's not talking about the God of the Bible, but a God who used to be a man like you and me. And when he talks about Jesus, he's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible, but a non-deity who he and his cult believe was the brother of Lucifer and actually visited the United States during his earthly life. So that's the problem. When he uses the words Christian Jews, Christians, unfortunately, for the most part, don't understand that he's not talking about the same God, the same Jesus.
Bill, I didn't know anything about this Man in the Moon event. I don't listen to Glenn Beck. I don't follow him. And the first time I knew anything about it is when I read an article that mentioned your comments. But for the benefit of our listeners who don't know what happened, this was a huge event in Utah last weekend. 18,000 people went to Salt Lake City. The tickets sold as high as $1,250 for the VIP seats, and it was quite an extravaganza. One news report said, quote, as Beck began narrating, telling a somewhat biblical version of the evolution of mankind, he took on the role of a watchful moon, admiring sister Earth, calling her blue, and his face became superimposed upon the giant stage moon. The moon witnessed mankind, referred to as the beast, becoming greedy and violent and losing its way. Noah's Ark wrote out the flood, followed by the Tower of Babel scenario. Mr. Beck told the captivated audience, I cannot tell you how your story ends because I am not the author. You are love. Love one another. I cannot wait to see what you decide to do. I am your moon, and you are my beast. Bill, what kind of religious babble is this nonsense?
Here's what a lot of the average day in and day out Mormon doesn't understand, and I promise you 99% of Christians, even Christian pastors, probably don't understand if they've never studied Mormon theology. But in the world of Mormonism, their doctrine clearly teaches, Joseph Smith, their founder, taught that there are literally men that live on the moon, men that live dressed like Quakers. And so when Glenn Beck rolled out this whole Man in the Moon thing, most people didn't understand that the roots of this thing lie in Mormon theology. And again, Mormon men believe, again, part of their theology, that if they do enough good works during their life and adhere to all the tenets of their cult, when they die, they too can become God of their own planet. So this whole Man in the Moon thing, as creepy as it may have seemed to some, as inspirational as it may have seemed to others, really had its roots and had its roots and its whole purpose in the Mormon doctrine.
So we don't know how many of those 18,000 people were evangelical Christians who were attracted to an event staged by Glenn Beck. And so really, Bill, they sat there being exposed to Mormon theology without knowing it.
Absolutely, and the whole weekend had Mormon overtones just by virtue of where it was. But of course, Beck had this temporary museum with a bunch of artifacts, and included in those artifacts was the watch of his cult's founder. And just for your listeners to understand that don't know, Joseph Smith lived less than 200 years ago, so he has a very clear historical record, and he was literally a con artist that supposedly was visited by an angel who led him to some gold tablets in upstate New York, which became the basis for his cult. But not was he just a documented con artist, but he was a pedophile, unless you consider having a bride of 11, not pedophilia. He was a polygamist, multiple wives. He was a racist, said blacks had the curse of Ham on them. And this is who founded their cult and wrote the documents that form the basis of Mormon beliefs. And again, most people don't understand that, but that traveling little museum of his had the Book of Mormon in there, the Pearl of Great Price. There's three superseding documents to the Bible that the Mormons believe supersedes the Bible: the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Doctrines and Covenants. And Beck had copies of all those things there, and it just amazes me why Christians would go and support such heresy, because I got to tell you something. The church back in the day of Joseph Smith didn't treat heretics very kindly. Now, some may argue they were a little too rough and not very Christ-like, but they literally ran Smith out of every town he tried to settle in, because the church back then actually read and knew the Bible, and they knew immediately this guy was preaching pure heresy.
Hey, Bill, there were a number of Mormon politicians from Utah that appeared on stage. That is to be expected. And there were various, I would say, Mormon activists who were on stage to speak. Who were those people?
Well, you had Nia Love, the African-American mayor of some town in Utah that I guess ran for Congress or something, didn't quite make it, but she's, one of the up-and-coming stars in the Republican Party. Mike Lee, of course, a senator from Utah. Those were the main two, but you also had a Mormon cult figure, almost, Elizabeth Smart. And just for your audience's edification, I originally came across Glenn Beck back in 2002 when 99% of the country didn't even know who he was. He's just a local radio hack back then, because when this whole Elizabeth Smart affair unfolded, I was really the lone voice in the media saying that most likely what happened was she was taken by someone who was practicing pure Mormonism the way Joseph Smith taught it, kidnapped her as a child bride, which happens often out in Utah, Idaho, Arizona, some of that part of the country. But the problem was most of those girls that get kidnapped every year never get in the news because their father's not a bishop in the Mormon cult like Ed Smart was.
Okay, so we had Mrs. Smart appeared on stage, and then there were several prominent evangelical Christian leaders. Let's start with David Barton. He's a well-known American historian, has a large following of supporters wherever he goes. I mean, churches are packed out, standing room only. And over the years, he's done a superb job chronicling the Christian connection to the founding of America. But in recent years, he's become tightly connected to Glenn Beck. How deep is this connection?
Well, let me make a great analogy that some of your listeners may be familiar with, some not. Back in the 80s, Myung Sung Moon, the deceased founder of the Mooney cult, was very clever. He set up dozens of pro-family organizations here in the United States, and through those funneled millions of dollars to the top evangelicals of the day, Jerry Falwell, Robert Shuler, Paul Crouch, I mean, the list
Gary,
goes on
Gary
and on.
Bauer, Gary Bauer,
Gary Bauer,
Tim LaHaye.
Reed, I mean, some of the same players that are even around today.
And Tim LaHaye.
Tim LaHaye, exactly correct, Rick. And the analogy is Beck has really played that same game of finding, and I'm just going to be blunt, what I call modern-day Judases who are willing to sell out the faith for money to basically stand next to Beck and give his lie that he's a Christian credibility. Just so your audience understand, I don't care what Glenn Beck wants. If he thinks he's going to die and become the man in the moon, that's great. I don't care what Tom Cruise believes, obviously. But the difference is Tom Cruise doesn't want to run around paying high-profile evangelicals to give credence to a lie that he's a Christian like Beck does. And that's my whole issue with Beck, and my bigger issue with guys like Barton, John Hankey, James Robeson, to name a few, Ralph Reed again, people that have come alongside Beck, have utilized his media empire, that's been their lure, and in return, they never confront Beck on his false beliefs. They never speak out against this cult that's leading souls to hell. And so, I mean, I believe that God's really going to hold these people accountable for literally selling out the gospel for 30 pieces of silver. And just for the record, and it's documented, David Barton not just is bought and paid for by Beck and highly utilized in his media empire to give his lie credence with Christians, but he also sits on the board of directors of Beck's so-called charity, Mercury One, which also has as its main board member Beck's wife. So I don't know how much closer of an affiliation you can get.
You know, that's very troubling to hear this about David Barton.
It is. And just for the record, as the Bible teaches, years ago when this first happened, I personally confronted Barton and started getting these stories that, well, Beck's really a secret Christian. He just doesn't. I mean, he didn't know how to handle the fallout when he was getting called out for his association with Beck. And the Bible is very clear about who we associate with. And the only reason David Barton is with Glenn Beck is because Beck pays him a lot of money to basically, again, give him credence and credibility that he doesn't deserve within evangelical circles. And through David Barton, he's been able to go preach at, you know, very many high-profile churches, Skyway out in California, just many high-profile Christian churches. And I've also confronted those pastors. Why would you open your pulpit to a cult member that preaches a false gospel, leads souls to hell, when you've got a biblically illiterate congregation, for the most part, that probably doesn't have a clue what Beck believes?
Bill, there was a period of time a couple of years ago, I quietly cut Glenn Beck some slack because I was told by a very knowledgeable source that
he was getting ready to become a Christian.
Yes,
right?
yes. And
that was the lie.
Yes, I know. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to say anything because if God is working in this man's heart, I don't want to interrupt what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because I was told the names of the individuals who were meeting privately with Glenn Beck and counseling him, and I thought, well, praise God, he's moving out of it. I was told that what I was told was that it was Mrs. Beck who was the radical devout Mormon, and Glenn was brought into Mormonism simply because he wanted to get married to her, and you know he just went ahead and joined the Mormon Church and. You know, he really didn't believe it and all that kind of, but it has turned out not to be true. He openly says now, I believe in the Book of Mormon.
Yep. Listen, Glenn Beck's actually become so bold now, he's actually done programs on his television program, What Mormons Believe. Again, propagating a bunch of lies to try to combat the truth that people like myself, your network, others that have called him out for his false beliefs are trying to expose. And but trust me, Beck is not a stupid man. That's one thing nobody can accuse him of. And I assure you, without any hesitation, he not only knows exactly what Mormons believe, but he is in tow, hook, line, and sinker. Trust me.
I want to bring
and just for the record, the lie you mentioned was the lie I was mentioning earlier. Because a lot of these guys, like K.E. Barton, started getting a lot of heat, so they started putting out this story that, oh, he's going to Gateway Church in Dallas, a big church in Dallas, whose pastor I've also talked to personally.
It's in South Lake, Texas, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, yeah, he does go there from time to time. He goes there to speak, not to become a Christian, but to speak.
Yeah, what I was told was that he was attending Gateway on Sunday and going, he was attending both the Mormon Church and Gateway, and again, I don't know. I'm just by what people in Texas have told me. And again, I was praying, Lord, deliver Glenn Beck and his family from Mormonism.
Amen.
But he's not. He doesn't appear to be going that direction. He is actually coming out now and being a much more forceful proponent of Mormonism. I want to bring up one more person who was there, and then I want to bring Pastor Chris Steinle into the conversation. Ken Hutchison. I've never talked to Pastor Hutchison. He's the pastor of the Antioch Bible Church near Seattle, former NFL linebacker, Seahawks, Cowboys, San Diego Charger. Very outspoken on social issues. I went to his church's website, reviewed the doctrinal statement. Very sound biblically. I disagree with a few things. His view about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's a rabid believer in the secret pre-trib rapture, and so. But that's okay. That's not heresy. He's a conservative evangelical pastor. Why in the world would a conservative evangelical pastor share a stage with Mormon Glenn Beck, pretending to be the man in the moon?
Well, my brother, I had the same question, so I I emailed Ken actually yesterday, and I have no problem sharing you the response I got. It simply said, we're the same, brother, just like you. We're all born sinners. And that's all he wrote. And I then asked.
That's his answer?
That's
we're all
answer.
Born sinners. Well, it's not the issue that we're, of course, we're all born sinners. It's whether we've been born again in Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And I asked him point blank. I said, in all of your dealings with Glenn Beck, because Cutchardson's kind of new to the Beck cadre of evangelical sellouts. He's just been around for a short period of time. And again, it gives Beck great credibility within Christendom. And it also helps soften the history of Mormonism and their association with black people. And it's just a shame. I think Ken's got a good heart, but at the end of the day, these guys crave the spotlight. They love the attention. Beck affords them a media platform. And you know, I cannot believe, though, for a second that they're so spiritually immature, they don't understand, or maybe they just looked past it, that souls, and that's what this is about, Rick. This is about the eternal souls of men, because we're all going to die one day, and it's very clear in the Bible that those who follow a false gospel are going to die and burn in hell. And for supposed evangelical leaders like Barden, Hagee, Robeson, Reed, Hutcherson, to give credibility to a man that's propagating a false gospel leading souls to hell, I don't know what could be a worse thing to do. I honestly don't.
Well, I mean, if these seasoned, experienced pastors and church leaders don't understand and comprehend the spiritual significance of what they're doing, sharing a stage with a Mormon, then they really should take a sabbatical and leave the pulpit for a while and go away and quietly seek the Lord until they can get their doctrine correct. Hey, I want to bring Pastor Chris Steinle in. Chris, what are your thoughts as you're listening to this discussion?
Well, as we think about doctrine and what's correct doctrine and incorrect doctrine, you brought up the fact that some people can believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit means something different than you and I believe. And we know that there are different views on when the rapture of the church will occur. Those things aren't preaching a different Jesus or a different God or a different Holy Spirit altogether. The verse that came to mind for me was 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let me talk about simplicity in just a minute, but it goes on. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." You see, and that's what I see that these other men of God are doing. They're putting up with a false doctrine. Well, how is it false? Well, we go back to what Paul was saying, the simplicity that's in Christ. Well, who is Christ? Christ was the Word made manifest in the flesh. As we read in 1 Timothy 3, God was manifested in the flesh. And in Colossians, that in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, the problem with the Mormon doctrine is that their Christ is not big enough. The Christ that is God, the God-man, is the one who has saved us, is the one who is interceding for us, is the one that we believe in, that we've received the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that Spirit? It's something that's very hard to describe when the Holy Spirit actually confronts you of your sin. There is an absolute fullness of the knowledge of the love of God through the cross of Jesus, along with an absolute knowledge of our own depravity. And there's a fear of God that comes on an individual at that moment that is a different spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And that spirit only comes by believing in the Jesus of the Bible. And that's why, as a Christian, we have one intermediary between God and man, and that is the God-man Christ, Jesus. And so that's the difference. That's what's lacking. You see, whether it's Mormonism or Islam, there's a fear that's induced and an accountability from the church that they are associated with, but it's rules and it's government, and it's still having to strive to make yourself conform to a standard. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, believing in the true Jesus, God Himself writes His laws in your mind and in your heart, and you joyfully then do what conforms with God's will. This is the whole difference.
Yes. Chris, there is a tremendous responsibility on all ministers of the gospel to make sure that the people that they give access to the pulpit, whether that pulpit is a physical structure on the stage of a church or a microphone such as we're using right now, but there's a tremendous responsibility to make sure that the people that, that share that pulpit are sharing a true gospel. Our situation here at True News is that because this this particular radio program is a newscast, we have many guests on the program who talk about current events, world affairs, news, and I don't ban people from being a guest that I interview based on their religious views. I don't even ask them their religious views. If I bring an economist on the program, I'm talking about the economy. If I bring a scientist on, I'm talking about science. There are times when I have learned at the last minute that a particular guest is openly promoting a religious view, and I've canceled the interviews. You know that. You've been here. Mm-hmm. We have canceled interviews. There are interviews that I have never aired. I just said it's not going to go out now that I know the truth. And there are a few guests that have slipped through that I wish I never interviewed because I didn't know what they were teaching. And there's no way to could bring it back. I didn't do enough homework. That's not what we're talking about here, gentlemen. All of these people that we've discussed, Dave Barton, Ken Hutchison, James Robison, all these people, they know that Glenn Beck is a Mormon. They know it. They know that he believes in the Book of Mormon. They know his views. So why are these men sharing the stage? Why are they bringing him onto their platform, giving him credibility and saying he's a Christian? I believe he's a Christian. I mean, some of these guys, I've heard them on their TV shows say, I believe Glenn Beck is a Christian. I wouldn't do that until I heard. I mean, I would be kind to Glenn Beck. I would minister to him. I would counsel with him. I would share the gospel. But I would say, Glenn, you're not coming on here to talk about anything until you renounce Mormonism in the Book of Mormon. That would be my rule. I mean, Bill, why aren't these guys adhering to just, you know, biblical standards?
And, you know, Rick, I have had either written or verbal conversations with all these guys. And that's been my very question. And of course, they backpedal. They basically will throw out that lie that we've talked about earlier. Well, he's slowly coming. He's not slowly coming around. As a matter of fact, he's more full-throated now about his Mormon cult beliefs than ever before. Here's the bottom line, and I hate to say it, and I think my analogy to modern day Judas is pretty accurate, because don't forget what Judas did. He was looking for a warrior Messiah, not the Messiah of peace, but a warrior Messiah. When he realized Jesus wasn't that warrior Messiah, what did he do? He went to the Sanhedrin, and they paid him 30 pieces of silver to basically give him up. Well, in essence, that's exactly what all these men we've talked about have done. They have taken the money from Beck, and again, other than Barton, and I'm sure Barton's ties with Beck being on his board are very deep, but other than him, I'm not saying Glenn Beck wrote James Robison a check for $1 million, but what he has done is given James Robison access to his media audience in order to sell books, promote his events, same way with Heggie, and in return, they then counter that, their favorite of Beck is to basically introduce him to their audience. I mean, you want to talk about bringing a fox into the chicken house and basically giving him undeserved credibility and helping him perpetuate a lie they know is a lie, that he's a Christian. And it's all about money. I hate to say it, but that's the bottom line.
It's all about money. Hey, you mentioned earlier the artifacts, and I want to bring this out for our audience. Mr. Beck's traveling circus roadshow displayed what he called the Independence Through History Museum. And I don't know if it was free or whether you had to pay money to go through it.
I had to pay like everything.
Oh, Mark. You had to pay. Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Beck is a businessman. All right, so
yep.
he got some more dollars out of him. Anyway, one of the so-called historical artifacts, as you mentioned earlier, was Mormon founder Joseph Smith's pocket watch, and also the first editions of the Book of Mormon, the Mormon Doctrine. Yeah. And Covenants, and the Mormon Pearl of Great Price. So, obviously, he had access to very rare historical documents in the Mormon Church. These were the first editions. And it's bad enough that thousands of gullible Christians paraded through Mr. Beck's Roadshow Museum. But what is really troubling is that Reverend Jerry Falwell Jr. dispatched at the university's expense a dozen students from Liberty University to work in Mr. Beck's Circus Museum as guides. There was one Liberty student for each of the museum's 12 thematically arranged stations. And the Falwell sons have been forging a close alliance with Mormon Glenn Beck. What is this all about?
Well, for full disclosure, I got my theological degrees through Liberty University 20-some years ago. So I will always have a special place in my heart for Liberty. But 4 years ago, when they invited Glenn Beck, and of course this is after Dr. Falwell, Jerry Falwell, passed on, they invited Glenn Beck to actually speak at the commencement of Liberty, knowing several of their board members, having access to both sons. I just absolutely went ballistic. And quite honestly, so did a lot of these students and faculty at Liberty for the very reasons we're talking about right now, to give a platform to a guy that you know is propagating false doctrines, a false gospel, a false God, a false Jesus. But here you go again, and I hate to keep going back to this, and I know it sounds so oversimplistic, but this relationship between Beck and the Falwell brothers is the same as Beck's relationship with all other evangelicals that have gotten in bed with him. It's about one thing and one thing only. It's about money.
And
you know, I really hate to say that, but that's what it boils down to.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier Reverend Sun Yun Moon, who has now died and obviously was not raised from the dead. He proclaimed himself as the Messiah. He said he came to fulfill the work that Jesus failed to do, but
that's
he died,
right.
and he's still dead, and there's no signs that he's... still no signs that he came out of the grave. But years ago, decades ago, Reverend Moon came to the rescue of Jerry Falwell, who's now passed away, but he came to the rescue of Jerry Falwell, and they used some moon-owned, moon-controlled entities to bring financial. I think it was a large loan to Liberty University. So that's not the first time that Liberty has danced with devils. In this case, Chris, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier today. The thought of Liberty University students, 12 of them, standing as tour guides in Mr. Beck's Traveling Roadshow Museum. And each guide is now, you know, presenting to the people who have paid money to come through this this circus. They're presenting the so-called historical artifacts. So you've got these Liberty Baptist University students saying, here is the Book of Mormon. Here is Joseph Smith's watch. I mean, Chris, what was your reaction when I told you this?
Oh, well, you know that they can't possibly be involved in that without having a sense that they need to be endorsing it somehow, or at least accepting it to be all right. Otherwise, it would be against their conscience, and they would say no. They would drop out of school, I would think. And so, once again, you've opened the church up, and especially the next generation, to receive the thought that this is just another denomination of Christianity.
I think Jonathan Falwell and Jerry Falwell Jr. need to repent to God for the spiritual damage that they did to these 12 students.
Yeah, you know, here's what happens. When you bring in, when you rub shoulders with, when you say something is similar and open it up to discussion, Peter talked about that in 2 Peter. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. And these destructive heresies have to do with telling the church one of two things, that there is such an amount of grace that they're allowed to sin, or that it gives them a false Christ, that they don't believe in the real Jesus. They haven't received the real Holy Spirit. And so the result of that is in 2 Peter in chapter 2. He goes on, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And I'm afraid this is what's going to happen to these young kids. It says, while they promise them liberty, interesting, liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than having known it to turn from their holy commandment, the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. That's a terrible thing to think about. And a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. You see, this false Christianity of Mormonism isn't able to deliver people from sin. It's only able to make them feel guilty about it and to push through on their own, giving them a false illusion that they can become God somehow themselves. You see, Christ, the truth is, we're never going to become Christ. We're never going to become the Son of God. That is at the heart of heresy right there.
Yep.
And so when you cross that line, when you embrace that, there's no way that you have the Holy Spirit within you at that point.
And it's the big lie Satan's been telling the human race since the Garden of Eden. Bill, when you think about that, the chancellor of a Christian university handpicked a student, 12 students, and said, as chancellor of this Christian university, I am sending you to this major event, and you are going to be the guide to introduce to thousands of people these Mormon artifacts. What goes through your mind when you think about this?
Well, again, it's blasphemous. It's a travesty. I got to tell you, I mean, the Liberty students should have been in Salt Lake City this weekend, and a lot more than 12. They should have been there passing out tracts and witnessing to people about the true gospel of
Amen.
Jesus Christ instead of helping this guy promote his false gospel. But here's the biggest problem I've got with a guy like Glenn Beck. And the reason I've been on this so hard for years now, and especially when Romney was running, I was lambasted for, not supporting the Republic. I said, listen, number one, our problems aren't political in this nation. They're spiritual. So let's get over that hurdle, first of all. But here's the problem, Rick, and you know this, and Pastor Chris knows this. The better percentage of two generations now have never even been to church, never even walked in a church. That's number one. So you've just got an incredible number of souls out there that have no faith background at all. add to that the fact that we've got a very weak, apathetic, biblically illiterate church full of, I'm just going to be honest, gutless preachers like Smiling Joel and all the purpose-driven and seeker stuff that's going on to put warm bodies into a huge building, not converts to the faith. Add that to the fact. To the mix, and then add to that the fact that about 40 years ago, the church really left the culture, created this convenient little Christian subculture that I call the Christian trough, with our own TV stations, our own radio stations, our own publishing empires, all the church. In other words, we took the salt light out of the culture. On top of all of that, you've got an environment now where a literal tool of Satan, like a Glenn Beck, can prosper and flourish. And at the end of the day, as an evangelist, my biggest concern is knowing that everybody's going to die, everybody's going to stand before God, and the Bible's clear those without Christ are going to be cast into hell for all eternity. And we're talking about an empire now that Beck has built that is just in the right time, the right place for Satan to just drive millions of souls to the pits of hell.
Amen. And many of these churches are filled with people who, if they're truthful, have never read the Bible. I'm amazed at talking
to 10%.
I'm stunned by the people who admit to me they've never read the Bible. I'm like, well, how can you be led by the Spirit if you don't know the Word of God?
Exactly.
Amazing. I want to move it over a little bit to the political alliance, and I want to make very clear, I am not connected with any political movement. I'm not a member of the religious right. I'm not a supporter of the Republican Party. I'm not an enemy of the Democratic Party. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am an ambassador of my Father's kingdom. That's where my loyalties lay. So I'm noticing that there is this political dynamic of this strange alliance of Mormonism, the evangelical Christian right, and the libertarian movement.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom Works is a conservative political lobbying organization that was originally run by Dick Armey, who has since resigned. Some people would label Freedom Works as libertarian. Bill, I was not aware until I read your article that Freedom Works has paid millions of dollars to Glenn Beck. What's the relationship?
Well, the relationship is simple. Freedom Works wants access to Beck's audience, and they basically pay him millions in advertising to be sponsor advertisers on his programs, TV, internet, radio. And in return, Beck then speaks at some of their events, promotes them wholeheartedly. He and Matt Kibbe, who runs Freedom Works after they got rid of Army, are basically just tied at the hip. And, of course, Kippy's organization, while it's and this is really how Beck's stock rose in the first place, by promoting a conservative / libertarian political ideology. So, of course, I would guess that a good percentage of the people that support Freedom Works and those kind of organizations, they're Christians that are concerned about spiritual issues that cross into that arena, like abortion, like marriage, like Israel, you know, the key spiritual issues of the day. So, the very cloudy, mishmash of political ideology, spiritualism, and of course, like I said, Beck was very, very hesitant to really push much of the spiritual side until the last few years. I guess he's gotten to a place where he's comfortable enough now. He's locked in enough with enough people, because now if you criticize Beck for his cultish beliefs, he just calls you a hater and dismisses you as that. And he's got almost a mini cult following of his own that basically are in lockstep with it.
Chris, Glenn Beck's libertarian views as it relates to same-sex marriage, he told Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly asked him on Fox News, is gay marriage a threat to the country in any way? Beck's response, no, I don't believe that. 2012, on his radio program, he said, I don't care if somebody gets married, just don't destroy my marriage. Again, once again, the troubling issue to me is why are evangelical Christians such as Dave Barton, Ken Hutchison, Reverend Jerry Falwell Jr., and others promoting Glenn Beck as a Bible-believing evangelical Christian when he's on record as saying gay marriage is fine with him?
I think everyone is trying to take sides with people who are endorsing what they see as good and peace in this world. And they're not considering the eternal outcome of people's soul. That's the whole problem. To be a conservative Christian, you're putting your focus on order and what's good and right and true in this world only. You're really forsaking building up the kingdom of God in order to build up the kingdom of man in a way that kind of conforms with Judeo-Christian principles. However, you've just thrown out Jesus' purpose in the kingdom. And so when someone overlooks sin, they're overlooking Jesus' whole reason for his death on the cross and his resurrection, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, if it's okay to sin, if you really can't define sin, what does sin, what is sin? If the Bible doesn't clearly speak out, and it does very clearly, about the abomination of homosexuality, you know, but we have to go back to the beginning of this breakdown of culture, and it really started with fornication in the 50s, 60s, 70s, with the acceptance of adultery and divorce. And so people have lost their stand for righteousness. They've been defiled. They haven't experienced the forgiveness and redemption that comes through believing in Jesus Christ. And so they're bogged down in their own sin, and so they can't object to anybody else's sin. So they're saying, well, you know, I'm really not any better, so nobody can really point the finger at anybody else. And I think that's where he's coming from.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Bill, recently I took a personality test, and the results came back that I was an introvert. And I'm not surprised because, honestly, I never wanted to be a minister. I never wanted to be on the radio. I this is against my personality to be behind a microphone and speaking boldly. It's just not who I am. And so I know that science sounds surprising to a lot of people, but it's different from who I really am. What I'm saying is I get up every morning aware that this may be my last day on earth. And right. I want to make sure that what I say in the name of God is true, because the souls of people that hear my words depend on it. We're going into the closing music, but go ahead, and if you've got a minute, go ahead and say the last word.
Sure. I would just encourage your people, because we've talked about a lot of things here today, but I never want to lose sight of the fact that so many people are out there struggling right now. And if you're hurting, going through some difficult times, Christ is your hope. Christ is your answer. Feel free to come to our website, liveprayer.com. We'll pray for you, help you through whatever you're going through, because the world is coming to an end soon. Jesus is coming back, and we better get ready.
Amen. Amen. Well, my guest today, Pastor Chris Steinle from here on our staff of True News, and Bill Keller from liveprayer.com. And it's a great ministry. People all over the world going to liveprayer.com, 24-hour prayer, 7 days a week. And we encourage you to check out that website also. You can trust Bill Keller. And to all the Mormons listening to us, if you're still here with us today, then I am very, very glad. And we're praying for you. We're not at war with you. We love you. We desire you to know the Jesus Christ that we know. And so we're encouraging you just to put aside all that Mormon literature and books and doctrine and go to the one true God and say, I really desire to know you and your son. Reveal yourself to me. That's my prayer for you. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of True News.